Welcome to Eucharist Podcast, where we're exploring what it looks like for a community of disciples to live all of life in reference to Christ. The following sermon was given by Father Kyle Logan on December 11, 2016, the third week in Advent.
Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. Amen. One of my favorite authors, John Steinbeck, wrote his magnum opus titled East of Eden. And if you haven't read it, I highly recommend it. It's a modern retelling of the story of Genesis. And it has everything you would ever need in a great work of literature. It's got what it means to be human, the concept of freedom, and the presence of good and evil in our world. But at one point in the book, there is a discussion that takes place between Adam, one of the protagonists, there's many in a book this size, and Lee, who is the servant or the butler of Adam. And it's kind of like a meta-discussion, essentially. They start to talk about the book of Genesis, and they're hypothesizing, why is it that the story of Cain and Abel is known by everyone? Why has this story lasted through the centuries? And Lee says, the great sage that Lee is, if a story is not about the hearer, he won't listen. And I here make a rule. A great and lasting story is about everyone, or it won't last. The strange and the foreign is not interesting. Only the deeply personal and familiar. In other words, there are two types of stories in this world. The temporary and the lasting. The temporary story is impersonal. It's not familiar. It's not about you. But the lasting story is quite the opposite. It's deeply personal. It's familiar. And the story of Genesis, according to John Steinbeck, is a lasting story primarily because it is personal. The story of Genesis is everybody's story. We can all find ourselves in the first 11 chapters of Genesis, if you read carefully. In our gospel this morning, John questions Jesus. He asks him, are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for another? In other words, John is asking Jesus, are you a lasting story? Will you have one sentence in the history books, or are you going to rewrite the history books? And when I hear this question, are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for another? I hear the sprinkling of doubt in John's voice. It's strange to see this question coming from John the Baptist. I mean, after all, John is the herald of Christ and his kingdom. John is the one who has prepared the way for Christ to come into the world and to make his kingdom known. But here he is, doubting. And I think we can understand where John is coming from. Jesus isn't exactly the Messiah whom he thought was coming. The political authorities not named Jesus are still in control. And where do we find John in this gospel passage? He's in prison. Not exactly the place for the herald of Christ to be residing. So, of course, John is a little bit suspicious about this Messiah. And in fact, Jesus isn't the first one to be dubbed the Messiah in Israel. It's rather commonplace for false messiahs to pop up all throughout Jerusalem. And in fact, it's not even uncommon today. Think of the great philosopher Kanye, or should I say Yeezus. Okay, maybe that one was a little not that funny. I thought it was funny. He is self-proclaimed God, if you didn't know that. Kanye, the rapper, he's married to a Kardashian. Gosh. You people, I have so much to teach you, so little time. So John, with his doubts, as he's in prison, sends his disciples to Jesus, and he asks, are you the one, or are we to wait for another? And Jesus' answer is twofold. He responds to John, and then he responds about John. And Jesus' answer to John, he never necessarily says that, yes, of course I am the Messiah. Rather, Jesus says to examine the evidence. to see and to hear what has happened. A series of miracles has taken place since the Sermon on the Mount. There's 10, actually, which parallels the Ten Commandments. But the blind see, the lame can walk, the lepers are healed, the deaf can hear, the dead are risen, and the poor have been brought the good news. Jesus may not be on the throne, but he is setting up a kingdom nonetheless. And it's climaxed with the poor receiving the good news of Christ. These people who in society are somewhat subhuman are being made human as a result of the works of Jesus. And then Jesus sends the disciples away to go and tell John what they have seen and what they have heard. Then he turns to the crowds and he gives a little sermonette about John. It's a short sermon, and Jesus' response is kind to John. Even though John doubts all that Jesus is as the Messiah, Jesus never doubts John. And he could have ridiculed him. "Some herald you are. You don't even believe that I am the Messiah." But Jesus praises John to the crowds of disciples who are listening. "This man who doubts me is still vital to the kingdom." And last week in Brian's sermon, we heard exactly what the herald of John does for the kingdom. He makes a way smooth. Remember the illustration of the road. Without a herald coming into the city, the roads would be rough and not smoothed out. But as a result of the herald of a herald, the roads are made smooth and they pave them so that the king does not have to have a bumpy ride on the way in. John is significant to the kingdom. He's vital to the kingdom, but he doubts. John performed his role in the wilderness with utmost faith, but now he questions everything with where he is. Things haven't exactly turned out the way John was expecting. His situation has shaken his faith to the core. What do we make of John and his doubts and the season of Advent? Why is the lectionary giving us this passage today? There is a painting by J. DeFeo. You can actually see it in the MoMA. It's right up here. It's in the San Francisco MoMA. It's a beautiful painting, and it's called The Veronica. And you might hear an echo of something in Christian history called the Veronica's Veil. Saint Veronica, as the legend goes, paused to wipe the blood and sweat off of Jesus' face as he was walking the Via Dolorosa, or the Way of Suffering, on the way up to Calvary. And upon doing so, an image of his face was imprinted upon this veil. You can kind of think of the story, or the movie Forrest Gump. Remember when he's running through the Midlands, I don't know where he is, but somebody stops and throws him a t-shirt and he wipes his face and he throws it back. And this, I can't remember if it's a man or a lady, but she or he opens up the shirt and it's this smiley face. And this person gets rich off of selling the imprintation of Forrest Gump's face on the shirt. Essentially, the same thing happens here in the legend of Saint Veronica. And it became a relic in the church. And it was rumored to have quenched people's thirst and to heal blindness and to do all sorts of other things. Whether you believe that this relic is in fact a relic and it does those kinds of things, we see in J. DeFeo's painting something absent, right? In this painting, there is no face. Rather, there are violent and billowy lines throughout the painting. In a way, what J. DeFeo is saying is that God is not present. The face of God is absent. And God, in J. DeFeo's worldview, God is an absentee father. I stared at this painting for a really long time in the MoMA, and it was really painful, and it was sad, and it took me into levels of despair even, just thinking on this. And I think John the Baptist was feeling the same feelings that J. DeFeo has when she painted this painting. Jesus was absent. John was living without hope in this world. And John's deferred hope turned his faith into despair. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't have this type of Advent hope that we've been talking about. Maybe you resonate more with John's question as opposed to Jesus' answer. Are you the one who is to come? Or is it, go and see and hear what has happened, what has taken place? I want you to know that Advent is a season of hope because it is undeferred as a result of Jesus becoming human. This painting that has no face is a false representation of what Advent says to us in the season. God is not absent. Rather, the story of Jesus is a lasting story, primarily because he becomes human. He becomes deeply personal and deeply familiar as a result of his incarnation. God is Emmanuel. He is with us. And because of this, the story of Advent is our story. Or better yet, it's everybody's story. God's story literally breaks into history and changes it once and for all. And in that, there's hope. Amen. Let's take a few moments of silence to pause or reflect or pray, and then we'll say the Nicene Creed together.
Thank you for listening to the Eucharist podcast. You can check us out online at eucharistsf.org, or you can join us on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock at 1504 Bryant Street, San Francisco, California.